I mean, what can you say about, you know, Vince McMahon? He's a billionaire. I mean, he's doing something right. You know, because the North is different from the South. You know what I'm saying? But if WCW would just, you know, what they try to do is compete with some of it. You know, why compete? You know, you got your own business. Just worry about your business. You know, and if you watch their TV, they brought the fucking guys they got rid of in WWF to bring there.
Right.
And give them these millions and millions of dollars. Why in the hell do you think Vince got rid of them for? You know? It's like a big deal. You know, I'll never forget the first, me and Robert went into WCW. I'm sitting there, and the big deal was, Eric Bischoff had a big fucking meeting. We won the day in court.
We got Scott Hall.
We got Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, which Scott Hall's a great worker. He paid his dues. He did good. But I'm watching Eric Bischoff himself. I'm thinking to myself, whose dick did you suck to get this job? God damn, dumbass, where are you coming from? I mean, is that a victory to you? If you dumb fuck, that's why you ain't got, that's why WCW ain't there no more. Whoever, I mean, god damn, guys, what the fuck are you thinking? If you're not even worried about him, you had WCW, that's yours. Think about what you're going to do, your new ideas you're going to do. Don't bring in the fucking garbage that somebody else threw away. And I ain't trying to say that bad, because you know how I feel about Kevin Nash. He's a worthless piece of shit. But Scott Hall is a good worker, you know, and they try to put the thing off on Scott Hall about doing drugs and stuff, but Scott Hall's great. Scott Hall paid his dues. I know Scott Hall for years. He's a hell of a worker. You ain't shitting. He didn't have to go out there and be the Wizard of fucking Oz or Vinny goddamn fucking Vegas, you know.
Just say what you mean, Rick.
Thinking that he knows everything about this business.
Just say what you mean.
And ride down the road in a fucking car and think he can book a goddamn territory. Think he knows everything. And don't know shit. Don't know fucking shit about our business. How it even post operator run. I'm sorry I keep going back to that, because I never said nothing about this fucker. You know, and he got his other things wrong, you know. He apologized to me, I apologized to him. But other than that, he kissed my goddamn ass. Let's go back to something else.
You say you want diamonds and gold and rings and silver. I'm just singing that song because I like that U2 song.
Yeah, you like all U2 songs. That's something I know about you.
Well, it's Martin Luther King Day, and I don't know...
Any Martin Luther King songs?
Well, U2 specifically has like two songs about Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah. Shot rings out in the Memphis sky.
Yeah, like Pride in the Name of... No, I don't think Pride. It was one of
in
those.
In the Name of Love.
And then there's also... oh, yeah, it is that song. And then they also just have a song, I think, titled MLK.
So they got great Martin Luther King songs.
Right.
They got the whole soundtrack of Blown Away, mm-hmm. which can be used great for St. Paddy's Day because it's such an Irish movie.
Right.
Or 4th of July because that movie is set on the 4th of July.
But it's really a St. Patrick's
Day. Maybe most
Day
versatile
movie.
Holiday band is what I'm getting
sure,
at, U2.
Sure,
like,
it's looking like.
Is there any holiday you can't just celebrate with U2 in some way?
Yeah, I think they have Christmas songs too.
Thanksgiving. I bet Bono doesn't really like how we treated the Native Americans all that much.
I could see him taking issue with that. But what I'm saying is maybe, you know, us singing a little U2 on Martin Luther King Day is going to be our half-hearted swear to God I'm not racist attempt.
That's like, going to be our tribute.
Like WWE does every year when they put that quote up there at the beginning of the Monday Night Raw.
What's the quote?
It's probably like a Fred
Fox
quote.
Is it literally just like,
quote?
I have a dream, Martin Luther King?
It could be.
Now here's fucking... WWE and all of our stereotype-filled offensive skits.
You like read it and it says MLK and it's like, isn't that just like one of Eddie Murphy's jokes in Delirious? I don't think MLK really said that.
Yeah, that's Eddie Murphy. You want to talk about offensive material? He's right up there with WWF.
Yeah, yeah.
One of these days, somebody's going to, like, discover Eddie Murphy's old stand-up, like a young person, uh-huh. and then Eddie Murphy's going to get erased from history. It's going to be like, you can't even mention that guy's name anymore. All the Shrek movies pulled off the shelves.
Oh,
get him out of here.
Don't
Gone.
Talk like that. The world needs Shrek.
The world
movies.
Needs Donkey.
What the world?
I've never seen a Shrek movie.
No. I want to say I've seen one in three.
Smart. Two is the sophomore slump in the whole Shrek franchise. That was, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Shrek movies. I know that it's Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy, dream team comedy duo. I should probably check those out, right?
I want to say it was the little lady who just like said like, oh, she like saw one of those articles that makes the round. She's like, oh, they're doing a Coming to America 2 with Eddie Murphy.
That article has been making the rounds recently.
But that's been like making the rounds for like 10 years now.
Yeah, now it's making the rounds again. Like, it comes in waves. Eddie Murphy is threatening to make movies again. So my question is, like, is it going to be a comedy? Because the guy doesn't do comedy anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to do like a Coming to America that's going to be like a serious like a commentary on colonialism or something.
I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Chris Rock. Some other comedian was talking about Eddie Murphy. You know, he was being asked about
I think it was Emo Phillips.
It was Emo. Yeah. It was comedy legend Emo Phillips. And they're like, how is like somebody at the very top of comedy just fall all the way to the bottom and just like be like such a joke on himself?
Sure.
And Emo Phillips was like, he got so famous. Well, okay, either way. But he was like, whoever it was like, you know, he got so famous, that meteoric rise, and then just surrounded himself with just people that aren't...
Yes, men?
Yeah, just people with no basis in everyday reality. Sure. And he's just so
weird bubble for himself.
Right, he's just so far removed from what the real world is that he just has no idea what comedy is anymore.
Yeah, that's true. We call it Vince McMahon syndrome.
Right.
It's what he's living in.
Yeah.
I guess that explains what happened to Eddie Murphy and why he like doesn't do comedy anymore. It wasn't funny, but doesn't do much to explain Dennis Miller. What happened to Dennis Miller?
Was he ever really funny?
I mean, bing, bang, boom, hey there. It's like Napoleon in his whatever reference.
Hey, easy, what's going on there? Say, like, Poncherelli, you know,
I
say cool things like that.
His HBO show when I was a kid, because it came on, I think, like right before Tales from the Crypt.
And that was too scary.
I remember thinking it was pretty good back then. I was like, Dennis Miller, you're funny. Now he's all like, hey, I'm here on the Twitter. That Nancy Pelosi. I haven't seen anybody more uptight since Anne Berlin.
Okay, I haven't seen somebody
I don't know
more uptight than Anne Frank's
about
keister
history.
In a World War II
world
German
history
attic.
Or like 50s pop culture to accurately finish any Dennis Miller synonyms.
Yeah. Shortly was the voice of Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football.
I didn't know Dennis. I've always pictured him as more of an indoor kid, I think. I didn't think he knew anything about sports.
Turns out he's
in the outdoors.
You know, Johnny Pigskin, pal. You know? I think I started going more John Wayne there.
I don't know.
Johnny Pigskin, Bill Girl.
There's a lot of John Wayne in a Dennis Miller impression.
Hey, I'm Dennis Miller, Bill Girl.
Figure out what that other element is. It's got to be John Wayne plus somebody.
Yeah.
Bat, 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 bat.
Somebody funny that isn't Dennis Miller. We're talking MLK. How do we get on the subject of Dennis Miller?
Quite frankly, you always get back on Dennis Miller. I don't know what your obsession
That's
is.
True.
I'm
That's
over
fair.
Here trying to make, you know, important points about race in America.
Yeah, you were saying some real things.
Mm-hmm.
Real things. Well, we've wasted a lot of time, and now I guess is a good time as any to let you know that this is Baby Oil and Blow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very somber MLK day, I guess.
Like,
or is it?
I feel
are
like,
we back to partying? We're taking
like
chill pills and partying?
The concept of this show is getting looser and looser, like every...
Like my stools.
The last couple months, just like... Whew,
yeah.
We really just started losing the thread and just getting all over the place.
Do we ever really have it to begin with?
Not exactly, but
go.
I gotta tell you, the editing of these things is becoming much more of a chore.
Yeah,
with our circuitous, like just like rambling of the last few weeks.
I call it our charm. You can call it what you will. I'm Matt O. You, sir, today you are going to be. You're going to be Mark Henry to my D'Lo Brown. You are Nate Adams.
Okay. I want to be the nerdy white boy in thick Coke bottle glasses putting his fist up in the air during that Nation promo to your Farouk.
Any member, Farouk?
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. I'm Nate Adams. I'm here for another Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah.
Do you have any modern wrestling news that you'd like to get out of the way this week? Because I think it's chilled out there. We had a couple weeks of like insane wrestling shit.
Yeah.
And then the internet's just been freaking out about politics the last few days. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody like freaking out about wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to have to do a rundown real quick and get your Royal Rumble picks because that's this Sunday.
Okay.
Who wins the Women's Rumble?
One of the blonde ones.
Okay. Yep. That could be Charlotte Flair.
Okay.
You could be on
one of the
there.
Blonde ones.
Who wins the Men's Rumble?
That would be
surprise entrant Roman Reigns.
That would be great.
This whole leukemia thing was a work.
I gotta say, they're getting ready for the big Seth Rollins push. I think.
Okay.
I've heard.
So you're going Seth Rollins.
I'm going Seth Rollins.
Title match is Finn versus Lesnar.
Come on, Matt. Give me a break.
I want to make you answer the question, sir.
Okay. Go out on a limb here. Brock Lesnar is going to win that.
Huh.
Against the
ekes out a victory,
guy
huh?
who weighs 120 pounds hey, soaking wet.
Nate,
yeah.
He's going up against Lesnar.
Uh-huh.
Look at all that beef. Just look at all that beef. SmackDown has AJ and Daniel Bryan
AJ
again.
And Daniel Bryan.
I guess. Daniel Bryan's the champ.
Man, flip a coin. I don't think they have any idea who's going to be in the title match for WrestleMania
really
on SmackDown.
Don't think they do.
So I don't really think they probably don't know who's going to win that match at this point.
Yeah.
If there's another SmackDown pay-per-view between now and WrestleMania, I'm going to say inconclusive like bullshit finish.
Oh no, they're all together again. All together now.
So regardless, there's another pay-per-view that SmackDown's going to be involved in between
there's
now
the
and
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to settle the score for the brand new women's tag titles. They're going to have a women's
really?
Tag elimination chamber.
Is that like the only crown elimination chamber match they've got going on? Or I don't even
only announced.
I think every year now it's different. Like what's in the elimination chamber?
Yeah,
it's a mess. Their whole pay per view structure is a mess.
Yeah,
I'm going to say bullshit schmoz for that SmackDown title match.
That's fair. Okay, well there's your picks.
No clear winner.
Any surprise entrants? Female or male?
No. I mean, female, you have to bring people back just to fill out the roster, I feel like. So yeah. Whatever. Maybe Medusa, has she been around?
She was just
recently?
At that women's evolution thing.
I can't think of anybody who like
maybe like a Gail Kim
anymore that'd be a surprise. No, she's working like at Impact.
Is regularly, she still
like,
with them?
In their office okay. and shit. So that would be a legit surprise, but I don't think it can happen.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say they have no surprises left.
What about that one, the Australian bird that they fired for stealing a candy bar?
She's contracted to Ring of Honor.
Oh, that's not real.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
No real surprises. There's going to be a couple old people, but just the same people you see all the fucking time. All
right.
Royal Rumble, my big prediction. It's going to be another WWE pay-per-view where all the fans afterwards are just like, oh, God, it was such a disappointment.
I expected so much
more. I'm canceling the network now.
No, you're not. It's $10. Get over yourself.
We'll see. There might be a little price hike.
If I divvied up the price of that subscription to everybody that has my login information,
how much would it
be? Like $4.50. No.
That's a handful of people.
I got some people out there, you know, watching it. I'm just kidding, Vince.
They're jumping to a new like streaming platform soon. Man, we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll crack down on that. Maybe prices are going to raise.
Ooh.
Maybe they're going to do something to make this a little bit less of a exploitable, non-avoidable thing.
I
soon
feel like
they might be like, all right, I don't want to have the network anymore.
I feel like they got to be losing some money on that. There's got to be enough intelligent fans out there that are just like,
oh, sure.
Hey, just split this with me or just take my login information.
And they do so many just like, here's your
free
month, next 3
yeah.
months for whatever things just to inflate like how many subscribers they can tell to like people in their little business reports. So it's just like, well, how many people really do pay like
just
every
make a brand
month
new email
full
every
price
month.
Like probably not many.
Like Yahoo or Gmail, they're not going to kick you out if you make a new email every month.
Oh, no, they love that shit.
You're just going to make a new email every month.
Pops up their numbers. Yeah. And then they can say they got all these fucking
Everybody's
users.
Winning.
It's all a scam out there. Everything's a scam. That dot-com bubble's going to burst, if you ask me.
Could we get to something legitimate, something that wasn't a scam, something that was real?
Down home, to me, damn it. World Championship Wrestling?
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's get into
Honest
that.
As the day is long.
We've got a rundown here of World Championship Wrestling from May 7th, 1988. This week, the rundown's brought to us by Walgreens generic brand cold medicine, which has gotten me through the past few days.
Nice.
And so far, it's getting me through this recording without too much, you know, coughing or snotting going on in the microphone. Yeah. So it's doing a lot of heavy lifting here. Let's get into the rundown here.
And Hendrix Gin.
And Jimi Hendrix Gin.
Double N R.
Midnight Express is in our first match. They're in there versus Jerry Price and Darkstar. The Midnights end up winning with the rocket launcher.
Huh.
Second match, Sting is in there versus Bob Emery for what I swear has to be the 16th time we've seen Sting fight Bob Emery in the last 6 months.
Bob Emery.
Did the match even happen?
Sha-na-na-na.
Did Sting win? I don't know.
It was the longest Sting match
I had a pizza show up
on TV
when it happened, so I
Ooh,
didn't
what'd you
see
get?
A single like a single second of this.
What kind
of?
I
just got like a thin crust double pepperoni.
From the Domino's?
Yeah, I had a free one on the Domino's app, and I was like, send it my way. I got a free pizza, send it my way.
Cheap pizza, especially if you got some booze in you, that thin crust Domino's, man.
Especially if you got some Walgreens generic cold medicine in you.
Yeah.
Dump a little on top of there as a drizzle.
This rundown brought to you by Robo-Trippin'.
Pretty much. Al Perez is in there versus Gary Royal in our next match. Perez wins with his spinning toe hold, which I think is just like a really easy to counter move. Why don't you just grab the back of his head and roll him up into a pinning predicament?
Yeah.
And then he has to let go of your fucking...
He leans in so hard.
Leans in so much.
And like they even talked about it. Like even if you don't want to roll him up, punch him in the face really hard.
Gary Royal's got to look at some tape before he gets in here and matches against these guys.
You get that.
It's easy to get out of this thing.
You spin it, you grab the toe and the heel, and you pull it up towards your shoulder.
There you go.
You bring it up
there
high.
You go. You don't do a 90-degree bend over at the waist and just give your entire upper body to the man.
Yeah.
Al Perez, you blow. Powers of Pain in there next versus Curtis Thompson and Rick Paradise. His name I just always love.
That's a cool name.
Especially when you're in there at a company where like the champ is Ric Flair and you're just going to be like, I'm a jobber.
I'm also Rick.
Rick Paradise.
All right.
Also spelled just
R-I-C. How do you spell
R-I-C.
It? R-I-C.
Come
it's
on.
R-I- it's R-I-C.
Who's letting him do that?
This must be living in Rick Paradise.
Oh, that would have been great as an entrance theme. Powers of Pain win with the heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Death Steve Williams is in there with our perennial Keith Steinborn, just like every week jobber on this show.
Yep.
Keith Steinborn. Williams wins with the Oklahoma Stampede. Kevin Sullivan versus Robbie Oman.
I think it's pronounced, oh man.
Oh man, I gotta watch a Kevin Sullivan match.
Oh man.
Sullivan wins.
No rotunda.
With a thing that was like half a clothesline,
no
half
Steiner.
Just a weak wristed punch to the throat.
Yeah.
It's just like he like threw like a limp arm at him,
right.
Made some connection to him.
My note was, I don't know, Sullivan won.
Yeah. Barry Windham in there next match versus Larry Davis. Just like contrary there, Windham wins with a wicked running lariat. Looked vicious.
Wicked.
Badass.
Just wicked. Get it out,
there's
son.
Our first call.
Get it out.
After that, he puts on a claw after the bell. Just
the
claws
claw.
The shit out of
him. Nothing can stop the claw.
The Fantastics in there versus a couple of dudes.
More like
didn't
fantastics.
Get their names.
Dicks.
Rocket launcher. They went with the rocket launcher.
Fantastics? Yeah.
That's right.
Joe Strickland and Tony Bowen.
Ivan Koloff versus David Isley. I'm really just fading fast here.
Third Isley, brother.
I didn't even see how this one ended. Didn't write it down.
Oh, you didn't?
Just didn't write it down.
It was one of the greatest endings of the night.
Well, tell me about it.
Okay, so as I'm mesmerized by Isley's fupa, which he had just monster fupa going in this match, I started being like, this has clearly got to be the end of the show. I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm going to try and cheat and skip ahead 15 seconds or 10 seconds
dirty,
or whatever.
Dirty, dirty dish rag.
And Nate Adams, I was taught my lesson because the match really started to turn to shit really quickly. And Isley started botching stuff.
There were some dangerous botches in there, I'll tell you that much.
Some real, real big botches. And so Koloff's like, fuck it, it's time to go home. So he gets up on the top rope for that Russian sickle.
He's been doing it, yeah.
Or he gets on the second rope. Yeah.
The jumping Russian sickle he's been doing lately.
So he did that, and instead of the clothesline, he just jumps and punches Isley in the head as hard as he can.
Punched him in the head.
Like the top of the head, like no joke, as hard as he could.
Okay.
In kind of a hooking fashion.
Took him down.
And then after he wins, he jumps into the air and stomps down on Isley's feet, or Isley's chest, with both of his feet, also as hard as he could.
Put a little cherry on top.
Yeah, he was a little upset about Isley biffing some shit.
So there you have it. That was the last match. That's the gist of WCW from May 5th, 1988. Now we're going to transition ever so smoothly into our five count.
That sounds nice.
Let's dig into this episode here.
Okay. Well, we get a the cold open little replay of when Dusty was kicked out.
Yes, I remember that. Memories.
He was banned from wrestling. And then we're joined at the commentary booth, Tony Rossi.
Good old Tony, good old JR.
Rossi, as Sting likes to say.
Yeah.
Dave Crockett.
Oh, man, the foundation of this show, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Just the rock, the cornerstone, David Crockett.
Like a high schooler getting his penis touched for the first time ever. These guys just come all over the show and are like, Dusty's reinstated.
Mm-hmm. This is the first thing they were talking about already was the Dusty thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No tease, no buildup, no dramatic execution.
This is definitely one of the points I want to talk about, too, then.
Yeah, just, Dusty, you wrestle again.
So, this Midnight Rider story, Dusty gets suspended.
Correct.
Has to come back under a hood.
Correct.
As the Midnight Rider.
Correct.
So he can be like, hey, maybe I'm not Dusty. I can still wrestle.
Also correct.
That's still going on. He hasn't been unmasked.
Still correct.
Midnight Rider's still booked for things.
Also very correct.
And while this is happening, apropos
of
nothing.
He's got a shot to win that vacated United States title.
Apropos of nothing, which Dusty Rhodes will be apparently sitting front row during the tournament that the Midnight Rider's also in as a guest of Paul Bosch.
That's good.
So apropos of nothing, we now have Dusty Rhodes reinstated.
Yeah.
While the Midnight Rider is also a thing.
Correct.
There's been no rising action to any sort of big conflict. There's been no nothing. This company's just a mess. They've got no idea where this is going.
No.
This could have been like a fun, goofy 80s type storyline if you had any sort of idea why you were doing it or where it was going.
Yeah.
But it's been clear from the very beginning. They have no clue why they're doing this. They're just filling TV time with whatever fucking bullshit.
Here's an idea, and this is just off the top of my head, and I mean this very second. You
okay.
Can check my notes if you think I'm cheating. I wrote none of this down.
Far too much work for me. I'm looking over the other end of the table.
If you decide, this is the episode we're going to reinstate Dusty. Okay. You got the Horsemen, right?
Yeah, they're there usually.
Everybody hates those guys. They're bad guys.
Except for those dorks who wear suits and throw up their four fingers to the cameras every week.
We'd be those dorks if there was that big time. Either way.
Sure.
Or would we, though? Because we do hate counterculture for the sake of counterculture, so we might have rallied against that hard, and we could have been Al Perez guys, as it turns out.
I'll never be an Al Perez guy. How dare you,
so you
say
think.
That?
Either
I
way.
I just think we'd probably look better in the suits than those guys who show up.
That's fair. So you take your big heels, you take whoever the hell that's important, you get to the end of the show, you have them beat down, get a numbers game on somebody, you know, whatever.
Some reason for need to bring Dusty back.
And then you have Dusty walk out. Not the Midnight Rider, you have Dusty walk out. And then you have J.J. Dillon or whoever, everybody's got a fucking manager. Just be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here, man? You got kicked out. You can't be here. You can't be here.
You can have Kevin Sullivan.
And then
you can, every week he tries to pretend like he's in a feud with Dusty, even though he's not.
Here's his chance.
Just fake it till you make it, Kevin Sullivan. Keep acting like you're in those main event programs.
You just have somebody do that, and then you just have Dave Crockett grab a mic and be like, well, the board of directors had a meeting this week, and as of today, Dusty's reinstated, and then Dusty does all his moves inside of the ring, and the crowd explodes.
Holy shit, he's back, and the bad things are happening to the heels. But if you really want to make that be a thing that's important, have all the weeks leading up to this week, have the heels getting away with all sorts of shit,
yeah,
and the people being like, oh, without Dusty, there's nobody to keep him in check.
Even, again, even if you're doing the poor WWE week-to-week booking that they're doing these days where there's, like, no real payoff,
oh,
it's just...
1988 WCW would kill for some terrible week-to-week modern-day WWE booking.
You're doing a live show from Florida, or quote-unquote live show from Florida next week. You've already announced that's your big show.
What a coup.
Unless it's taped already, just have the big reveal be there.
That's another way to go.
And then instead of the same...
At least at that point, there's a reveal.
Instead of the same 40 people in attendance, you can bring out...
But what you're not factoring in here is this show's absolute love of having the basis of every storyline being a bunch of white guys who are old and wearing suits, yeah, sitting around a boardroom just like talking about shit. Because that's got to be the basis of every fucking feud on this TV show.
Yeah.
Here's Paul Bosch in there with some other fucking old guy from Kansas City or whatever, yeah, and oh, he's sitting next to the third Crockett cousin.
This show,
Larry Crockett,
is like a southern precursor to Downton Abbey.
There's really a lot of Downton Abbey elements here. It would have been nice if they could have like done a little bit of a cross between like half the show we're looking at the boardroom with the white guys in suits, the other half it's like a lot of the stuff with the ring guys and the, yeah, dudes who like set up audio equipment. That could have then maybe there's a romance that like,
ooh,
crosses cultural lines,
ooh,
or something. I'm already scintillated. This is, yeah, much more compelling than any of the television we're,
you're
watching,
welcome,
on this.
Somebody should give
World
me the
Championship
book.
Wrestling.
You're right. Somebody should give me the book. I got ideas.
Well, and Nash's turn is next. Maybe if Nash runs through his ideas, he can be next in line.
But where's Kevin Sullivan in all this?
Always somewhere on the fucking creative team somehow.
Right
somehow
there.
Always on the
right
fucking creative
there
team. I think he's just so tiny that he always goes unnoticed and just like never gets kicked out of the office. That's Kevin Sullivan's secret.
I got an idea. Who said that? No, nobody. No, nobody. Nobody.
Some sort of sleazebag from Massachusetts, yeah, but I'm looking around at shoulder level and not seeing any other heads.
Yeah, look, Nate, look at all this beef.
That's my new...
You're really loving Vince McMahon's, yeah, new look at all this beef catchphrase.
Yeah. Why isn't that on a shirt yet? I got a number two.
Send an email.
So you know how we just complained about there being no fanfare,
mm-hmm,
for Dusty?
Mm-hmm.
Then like 2-3 segments later, Cornette's throwing a anniversary party.
He is.
For his boys. They're champions.
The rightful North American Tag Team Champions.
For a year now, they're champs.
If they get their tag team titles back on a technicality, it will be 1 year. And in his opinion, the way they lost it was bullshit.
Yeah.
That decision needs to be overturned.
So they're having a party. They're celebrating.
It's a preemptive 1 year party.
And instead of just saying it on TV, you have some cause and effect, some action reaction,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and these guys are having a party and you have Dave Crockett come out and just simply ruin it by being like, well, I did talk to the bosses and you guys,
once again, more white guys in suits talking,
not the champions.
Oh.
But either way, they did some kind of thing here as opposed to just being like, you know, our biggest storyline, well, Dusty's back.
A lot of stuff happened behind the scenes and that's over now.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, if you want to have a storyline, one of the most important things you need to have in a storyline so that it matters is you have to have real stakes. You have to introduce real stakes. And they did that during this Midnight Express fucking situation by introducing a sheet cake, Matt.
Yeah.
It's one of the tried and true, most reliable things in wrestling. You introduce a sheet cake, and then you know somebody's getting smashed into that sheet cake.
You think they brought it out because they saw Heenan get his face smashed weeks prior?
I mean, it was a hilarious bit that worked great.
It's what, 2 weeks apart? 2 weeks apart?
Bring it out. We could get a sheet cake, too. There's bakers in Atlanta.
2 weeks apart?
Jim Cornette gets his face smashed in that sheet cake after doing all his gloating, after getting shot down by, you know, the office. Everybody hates Jim Cornette. Now he's got a reason to come back all mad. The Fantastics and the Midnights, their feud's hotter than ever.
You can feel free to edit this part out to make it seem like you're a genius
okay.
at the editing process.
Sure.
When we're talking about the sheet cake here, when it all comes up,
right.
I'm going to need you to drop in as much as you can of the Patrick Stewart sexy cakes skit from Saturday Night Live.
I'll look that up. I don't think I'm familiar with
it. Owns that shop called Sexy Cakes, and people come in, he's like, hello, welcome to Sexy Cakes. And people are like, yeah, I just want to get like a funny like birthday. It's like my mm-hmm. friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how about a cake of a young woman peeing behind some bushes?
Ooh, lots of pee-pee talk on this, huh?
Yeah, like all his ideas of sexy cakes are like really like niche, weird, erotic. Uh-huh. And a lot of people are like, this is off-putting. I don't think it's for me.
How much Patrick Stewart's willing to look like a pervert for the sake of comedy.
I don't think it's a lot of willingness. I think it's if the woman's shoe fits on your male foot.
Real life pervert Patrick Stewart. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is weird, and don't answer this question if you don't want to, Patrick. Okay. But I have, I don't know why you brought this up, but I did hear you discuss that you had an extraordinary disagreement with your wife about yourself. Do you know what I'm talking about?
By myself, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Listen, yes. Do you know this story?
I do not know
listen
this
with story. Interest.
One night, as you do, we were talking about stuff. And, I just had no interest. And, of course, being circumcised, I said...
They were chatting. They're married. They're married. They were allowed.
And she said, you're not circumcised. I said, what do you mean? You've only known me a few... All my life. I remember my mother telling me why, because it was fashionable at the time. She said, you're not circumcised. I said, that's ridiculous. I should know if I'm circumcised. Of course I am. End of conversation. But the next day, I happened to be seeing my doctor. Are you okay? I was seeing my doctor for my annual physical.
Of course.
So, while he was down there, I said,
excuse me,
doctor. Oh, by the way, Irv, my wife and I had a little disagreement. I am circumcised, aren't I? Because she says I'm not. And he goes, not.
Piggy bank off that. Another one of my points was just how much I liked Jim Cornette's commentary during the Midnight's match this week. He always goes out there and shoots the shit with JR and Tony. This week it was especially good. Part where Bobby just drug the jobber over in a headlock to the podium, just slammed his face on there, and Jim Cornette just started yelling at him about what a low-rent idiot he was. Talking about, you got anything to say to your mother and father at home? Just, like, humiliating. Really made these guys look like assholes.
Yeah.
And then in there, you got Stan Lane doing his white guy karate.
I love Stan Lane's white guy karate.
Jim Cornette's like, oh, look at how fast he is. If Bruce Lee was that fast, he'd still be alive. I was like, that's not true, but it's funny that you're just making fun of dead Bruce Lee.
He died in his sleep.
Yeah. He's a little bit faster. Maybe he would have outran the Grim Reaper there.
Well, he died because he had that nightmare fight.
Mm, yeah, I've also saw Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. So yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who was the guy in that?
Brandon Lee.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't.
I've seen Showdown in Little Tokyo.
I haven't seen Dragon, the Bruce Lee story probably since the weekend it came out, so I'm not quite sure.
I don't think I ever saw
it. I'm going to say, thinking back in the era it came out, probably Michael Dudikoff.
Sounds
I think,
right.
I think, yeah, he played him. But I think Cornette knew he was going in that sheet cake later, and he was trying to just be even more on fire than usual and really get out there. He was having a good time. He knew he was going to eat up a lot of TV time. He did great. Jim Cornette's my MVP of the episode.
I'm going to have to post it on our Instagrams, which we've been slacking on, and we need to get back on there.
Hey, man, I've been sick. It's just been, you know, a bad week for me.
I was sick the week prior. You're sick now. It's just... And then there's our crippling alcoholism. You factor all that in. And
I haven't drank in days.
Really?
I'm drinking right now, so well, that streak's over. But
2 days last week I didn't drink.
Wow.
That's... That's big.
It's big timing right there. That's big. That's like what all those successful CEOs do when you read those like articles in Goop. Like, how are the successful CEOs living their life? Last week, I went 2 days without drinking.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm at that Scott Hall state right now where you're like, maybe we can put that TV title on him. You know?
He's really been behaving himself the last 6 or 7 days. Like, I think he's turned it around.
This could be, he's turned it around. That last time, really, we really got through to him. You
hey,
know?
Where is Scott, by the way? He was supposed to be here for this meeting.
Son of a gun said he'd be here. Yeah, corny. His outfit.
Yeah, there was a lot of mismatched colors this week.
Well, I want to show you something. He was very closely dressed to something that I'm very familiar with. You might not be as much, but I will show you it here. And we'll post it. I'll do a little side-by-side so we can all see.
He's pulling stuff up on his phone right now. Yeah. He's got a lot of ideas talking about corners.
He's got the inverse of the Vince McMahon LJN wrestling figure.
Character. Yeah, because he had blue top, red pants, red tie there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to make a little collage there and let people know.
Yeah. As soon as he came out, like I instantly
Jim Cornette dressed as Bizarro Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I instantly saw that figure in my mind's eye and was like, well.
Turns out another one of my points is just about the Midnights out there. This is probably the only thing I liked. Just the whole segment where they're having the party with the birthday cake.
Yeah.
And they keep making a
Stan
point.
Stan just wants to know where the women is.
About how you can't. Jim Cornette's, they keep wanting champagne, and Cornette's like, no, no, we can't drink alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
Like, if Flair was out there, he'd be drinking champagne.
Right.
So why aren't these guys drinking champagne? He's got them chugging Cokes, Coca-Colas. Like, I get this probably just because Jim Cornette's fat southern ass loves to chug Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Who's this, a double entendre? Are they, like, just, like, these guys doing Coke jokes? Is that what's going on out here? Is this, like, the boys in the back? It's like,
look at
them pounding this cocaine.
Little Polish knee slapper there.
He's, like, doing all this Coke. Is that why they just kept making such a big deal about, like, here, you get a Coke. You get look at him drinking all that Coke. A
little extra layer on that one. If you notice, when Sweet Stan goes to try the Coke, he plugs his nose.
There we go. That guy's always doing a lot of stuff in the background that's fun.
You might have figured it out. Way to crack the code.
This whole segment was just a good time.
You're like the 80s WCW NWA Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I'm like David Boreanaz in Bones.
Yeah. If you
show me some bones and I'll crack a... No, that Bones just looks at the bones. What does David Boreanaz do on that show?
He's like an FBI agent.
I am an FBI agent.
He's just like the police muscle.
Okay, so Bones looks at the bones and is like, oh, I can see by the marks on this bones.
And he's like, don't be so naive, Bones. We got to shoot these assholes.
Buy an antique serving fork from the 16th century. There's only one family in town that has silverware like that. And then David Boreanaz is like, I'm going to go kick down their door and arrest this guy.
Yeah. She also has a really annoying way of talking like this throughout the entire episode.
Bones talks
and even
like
though
that.
She's the most educated woman in the room, everything sounds like a question.
Keep wanting to try to get into Bones, but the more I hear about Bones, I'm just like, oh man.
Now you can get into it.
Why did James Potter watch all that Bones for so long?
I've watched a lot of Bones, and you can get into it. There's a real Jewy guy. That looks like a Jewy Coldplay.
That sounds hilarious.
He kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, I strongly dislike everyone on that show.
Okay.
But I watched it. Okay. I got a number 3.
Yeah.
It's about your guy, El Perez.
My guy. Latin heartthrob, El Perez.
Why do they have such a hard-on for El Perez versus Nikita Koloff? Like, are they building story here? Is this their way of actually building story? And they're going to be like, here they are, El Perez and Nikita Koloff in this United States tournament. We talked about it. This is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just all in disarray at this point.
For weeks, like, though, they've been like, these two guys.
Magnum got taken out. There's lots of buzz around that maybe they're going to sell or whatever. They just don't know who they're going to use at the top of the card. They're grasping at straws. Al Perez looks like sort of a handsome, in-shape guy, which is rare for them. Lex Luger's washing out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Luger's not even on this episode.
Koloff, they're trying to push as a good guy, and it's just like, ugh. And it's just like, why don't you guys just take all your efforts and focus them on Sting. Like, this show should be like half Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express, like half Sting. Like, that should, I mean, like, you get the Horsemen weaved in throughout all that.
Sure.
The Horsemen,
you just pepper them in wherever you want.
Your versatile go-tos, but like... Those are the two hot things right here that I'm seeing.
I noticed you didn't say anything about Dusty.
Well, that's true. Dusty's feeling a little bit old hat. Maybe that's what this whole Midnight Express... Midnight Rider experiment was about.
That was his way to get paid twice because he wrestled twice on a card, daddy.
Dusty's always thinking. Always thinking Dusty Rhodes. I don't know. Either way, Al Perez has got nothing. He's going nowhere. Nikita Koloff is a good guy. It's a terrible idea. This whole upper card is just in disarray.
That was always a...
Rock and Roll Express is gone, too. So I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah. I never thought I'd miss them.
They're just trying to create new dudes who can get up in that top mix. And Barry Windham and Sting, that's who you need to focus on.
I never thought
right
I'd
now.
Miss Ricky Bobby and Dale Earnhardt, the Rock and Roll Express.
Well, you thought wrong. I've been trying to tell you for months and months on here just like how you do not appreciate the genius of the rock and roll.
I had their names right? Tom Petty.
This whiskey's starting to mix around with this cold medicine in my head. I don't even think I'm listening to what you say, quite frankly.
Nice. Let's make some whiskey Robitussin shooters at the break.
That's essentially what I've done.
Yeah. I had the number three. Did you have a number three?
I'm already at my number four.
All right, my number four.
Mine are very short.
Oh, all these heel matches. Mm-hmm. Why does everybody feel the need to throw people to the outside and like get an unfair numbers advantage when it's just a fucking squash match? Like,
I've got a note about that too. Like in that Powers of Pain match.
Yeah, they throw them to the outside. They always do this in the Powers of Pain match, just so Ivan Koloff can get a whip with
He's
the chain.
Whipping the guy with the chain, and for one, I'm thinking this guy's already dead.
Right.
And two, I'm thinking, where's the referee during all this when this guy's getting whipped with a chain? Why isn't the match getting thrown out right now?
Yeah.
That match went way too long. This is one of those matches where like the guys were squashed instantly, could have been pinned, and then they just did more moves to them for like another 6 minutes over and over again.
Like they did the old whip them on the outside, even though moments before this, the Midnight Express did the same thing, beating the guy up on the outside.
There was a lot of humiliation going on in that Midnight's. And this one, it felt like if you're going to do it, the point should have been like, oh, look at like what assholes these guys are because they just keep punishing and punishing these guys. But it's not like framed that way or treated that way.
No.
It's just like more match.
This is a way for us to continue it.
They're beating these guys who are already dead because they're like fucking literally a barbarian and a warlord and they don't have any morals. And fine, but none of that's going on. None of it.
Like Jim Ross made a fucking name for himself in the fucking Attitude Era or whatever by being like, look at this. This is deplorable. Look at this guy. Like
Jim
this
Ross
guy's got a
few
family.
Years from now, I'd be like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, he'd be upset. Instead, he's just like, oh, here now, here's Ivan Koloff hitting him with the chain. Where's the fire, Rossi?
Ross, he's back. There's pluses and minuses, I think. When it's a good match on a big card, I like this whole early Jim Ross, I'm treating it like a sport, calling everything sensible type thing. But when you're just watching dumb wrestling that doesn't make any sense, you got to get some fire and some yelling. You got to Don West it up is what you got to do.
Ah, Don West. I heard he's all in.
He's signing for AEW?
He's all in.
You know, legitimately, if they did that, I'd fucking love it.
I'd love if Pro Wrestling Tees. Signs Don West.
If they just sign him to work at the store in Chicago, I'd be hanging out in that store all the time. Like going there and he's the one working the register.
We've got these t-shirts. You got to call in right now. We've got exclusive Adam Hangman Page t-shirts. AEW.
I would be back in the buying wrestling t-shirts game. I haven't been in that game for a lot of years, my friend.
I'm going to float that out to AEW. Both of them. Pro Wrestling Tees and AEW.
They could all work together. They're all in bed together.
Yeah.
Oh, two Michael Jordan college rookies.
Back to back in there, too.
Two Michael Jordan college rookies. These are just cards we're... Ah, got it. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to do something about this wheels here. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun going through all those cars. Look at this! Reached down on the floor and picked this up. There's a Griffey rookie!
My number four is talking about the fat guy in the Fantastics match. I didn't get either of their names. But either way, there was one just formless fat turd of a man in that match.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably the least in shape wrestler I've seen on any of these TV shows in a long time. And I see really out of shape dudes on
I
want to
say
TV
Joe
all the time.
Strickland.
So maybe it's Joe Strickland.
I want to say we've seen Bowen in matches.
Either
before.
Way, this dude's just straight up fat.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No.
He's fat!
Not just like a hoss either. Not like the dude is like, oh, this guy's big and burly. He's going to throw his weight around. Just like.
Hailing! From Dunkin' Donuts.
Noodle armed, hailing from Dunkin' Donuts. Just fat ass. Just pale, yeah. Hairy, just like disgusting looking. How does he get on TV? How are they putting these men on TV?
They had that fucking.
There's fucking thousands of jobbers all around the country at this point.
Like, they had that spot where like.
Somebody who looks better on TV.
Rogers gets the tag real quick. And then Irish whips this fat guy into the ropes. Uh-huh. And then he's going to come back and the other Fantastic
clump,
hits
clump,
him in the
clump,
head.
Clump, clump.
And he's running and he's just looking into the camera.
Oh,
and like
not
looking
an
like,
athlete
I'm
in
not,
any way.
Well, I hope I'm on the right side for this move to happen. Oh, I got hit. And it's awkward, man.
So bad.
I want to bring something up. It's not one of my points, but since you're talking this Fantastics match. Couldn't help but notice on this MLK day. Fantastics, what are they known for?
Hugging fat ladies in the audience.
Correct.
That's how they made their money, man.
I'll give them a little bit
business
of credit.
Business is good.
I'll give them a little bit of credit. They forced them to cut one of those super awkward screaming in the microphones with the announcers before we run to
like
the ring.
While their music was playing.
Yeah, which they don't do a lot, but they've done a couple times on the show. And this was one of them, and in their heads, they're like, well, we don't just get into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
We run around the ring,
and
we hug fat girls.
That's kind of our entire thing.
And guy that's not Tommy Rogers, I can't think of his name.
Oh, I can't now because you're putting me on the spot, but go on.
Guy Fiera, guy.
That's it, definitely.
And Tommy Rogers still tries to take a little lap around, like a quick... Like, I'm going to acknowledge a couple fans. And there was that nice black family of Tiger Scouts.
Yeah, sure. They got on camera a lot.
Dead center.
They were having
row.
A lot of fun.
He high-fives like one or two people and then stops directly at them.
Uh-huh.
And gets just hightails it into the ring.
Ooh. Maybe those, I don't know, those kids were getting a little rowdy. And he's
kind
of intimidated.
They weren't.
Did one of them have a hoodie on, maybe?
No. Little Trayvon did not have a hoodie on. Your words, not mine. And
it came out of your mouth.
Ew,
Bobby Fulton, by the way.
Bobby Fulton, thank you. I'm thinking back in it, and I'm like replaying it in my head. I don't think I've ever seen Tommy Rogers hug a black girl.
Oh, I have.
Have you?
I think like he's just like a little off put because there was a whole crew rolling up. But I've seen him like just hug like one random fat black girl for sure.
It wasn't
like there's
like
always one or two in that crowd.
Who though? It's just like two clearly parents and their three children that
I'm
were very
well
behaved.
Those children were wilding out.
No,
man.
They were like very well
that
behaved.
That might have been a young Nick Cannon, quite frankly.
If only, huh?
I mean, it might have been. I don't
Brushing
know.
Brushing shoulders with greatness like that.
A little bit of trivia for you. There's a young Nick Cannon was on this May 7th episode of WCW.
Before he was getting raped by old white men
this
at Nickelodeon.
Is how he got the idea for Wildin' Out, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Just being around all these hillbilly Southerners screaming at wrestlers.
Just wildin' out at wrestlers. I'm just saying, let's keep our
it
eyes
looked
peeled.
Suspicious.
Let's keep our eyes
it
peeled.
Looked like
it's
there
was
1988.
A little bit of
1988
it's the
racism
South.
Going on.
I'm not ruling out Rogers yet.
I feel you.
I'm going to put him on a possible that's racist.
That's racist!
If this was some Cowboy Bill Watts run WCW, he'd be having a mandate. Like, these black people keep coming to our shows and spending money. You get out there and you treat them like VIPs. We don't have him going like in charge right now. Dusty's out there, and he's like, you know, the black people only like me, so don't even bother with them.
That's fair, Because Dusty's not a racist.
Dusty is their man.
Yeah,
so.
Those are my people.
Even if they're cheering for you, like
they ain't cheering for you. They just wondering, hey, where's Dusty?
What they like is Dusty Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes alone.
Oh man.
So I'm saying that's a dictate. He's just like, listen, the black fans are mine. Like, don't even bother with them.
I got a 5, maybe. I got 5 on it.
What do we got? What am I even talking about? Powers of Pain. Okay, so here we go. All right. So what happened? Midnight Express have their big celebration.
They did. Fantastics threw cornet, no sheet cake.
And then Fantastics come out later and have a match, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No retaliation whatsoever.
Midnight Express do nothing.
Do nothing.
Even though we're in a 20-yard by 20-yard soundstage.
Correct.
These guys are cooped up together in here.
Now, Powers of Pain have a match.
Mm-hmm.
They finish up.
They sure do.
They got an interview. I'm like, well, I'm ready to skip over this or just not pay attention to it, you know?
Sure.
And fucking, what's his nuts?
Paul Jones.
Paul Jones. I got to give him credit.
Oh, you like some of what Paul Jones was saying?
He goes, guts. This is all about guts. We got the guts, blah, blah, blah. And then he's talking shit about the Road Warriors. And he's like, they don't even have the guts to be here in the building now. And it's like, huh, that's subtle, but effective. Uh-huh.
Explaining why these people who are at each other's throats wouldn't be just fighting in the arena right now.
Correct. So take the same approach. When the Fantastics have their match, you can't have the announcers be like, you know, Cornette was very upset
over
what happened to him, and he had the Midnight Express get him out of there so he could clean up.
David Crockett did say at one point he was just in the back, and Cornette's still trying to get cake and frosting out of his eyes and all his crevices.
So he's
maybe the cleanup job was just so much that it took the entire hour.
I guess.
He's just back there cleaning up Cornette over and over again.
A little attention to detail. Like, if Paul fucking Jones can do it.
Yeah, I agree. It feels very weird when you have some sort of like jumping confrontation like this, and then just later in the episode one of the parties involved comes out and just it's not mentioned.
It's such a small fucking
set. There's no retaliation. And
which is why I love when they do like those sit down interviews and cutaway shit, just because it makes their world feel bigger.
Oh yeah,
like Mr. Rogers felt like it had a bigger set than this.
Yeah, because he could, you know, go in the kitchen.
He created two worlds, at least, you know?
And he could go out on his front porch.
He had an outside. He had the fucking land of make-believe. He had a lot of shit.
Mr. Rogers was doing a lot of world-building.
You know, it happens so often. I walk down the street and someone 20 or 30 or 40 years old will come up to me and say, "You are Mr. Rogers, aren't you?" And then they tell me about growing up with the neighborhood and how they're passing on to the children they know what they found to be important in our television work. Like expressing their feelings through music and art and dance and sports and drama and computers and writing, and invariably we end our little time together with a hug. I'm just so proud of all of you who have grown up with us, and I know how tough it is some days to look with hope and confidence on the months and years ahead. But I would like to tell you what I often told you when you were much younger. I like you just the way you are. And what's more, I'm so grateful to you for helping the children in your life to know that you'll do everything you can to keep them safe and to help them express their feelings in ways that will bring healing in many different neighborhoods. It's such a good feeling to know that we're lifelong friends.
You got a 5 on it?
Yeah, it was just specifically one of those botches in that Ivan Koloff match. It just was writing about what a disgusting botch that was, and I think that's why I didn't have the finish of the match, because I was just writing about it. But
was it that crossbody?
At one point, Isley was on the second rope, and he tried to do a crossbody, and then like the spot was that Koloff was going to duck the crossbody, but he didn't really duck it. He just sort of
kneeled
slowly
down.
Got down on his hands and knees, and then somehow, like being perpendicular in a crossbody, Isley still managed to land directly on his head like a fucking lawn dart.
It's amazing. I saw a botch over the weekend. I want to say it was Born to Botch posted it, of an indie guy doing a moonsault, not jumping out, and just coming down gut first on the top turnbuckle. And this was kind of the same wrestling physics where old boy just jumped away and didn't really jump as much as he just came off. And he just perished to his death. And I'm not going to say it's Ivan's fault, because that guy ended Bruno Sammartino's reign of terror.
There was something weird about just how slowly Ivan went down for the duck that I think
it's not
just
his
like,
fault.
But I think it like that wigged Isley out when he was in midair, and then he just like his body just like short circuited and like moved in weird ways, and then it was just like,
well, do I not jump off? What do I do?
Straight to the goddamn mat head first. Yeah. And then he took that jumping punch to the head after just like spiking his own head in the mat. Yeah. He might be dead after this match.
Deadwood's coming back.
They got any concrete shit about that?
Oh, there's photos.
Like, are they doing another season?
No, it's
or is
a movie.
Like a movie, like they were always saying.
Oh, yeah, okay. They got photos already.
They've been talking for a long time.
No, they got photos,
this is,
man.
This is like another Coming to America 2 thing. It's finally coming together.
Swearingen still looks like Swearingen. Bullock's got a full head of gray hair and a gray mustache because he's one of Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders at this point.
Ooh, very interesting.
Which is real life. The real Bullock was a Rough Rider.
Going to have to revisit that entire series because I haven't seen it since like it came on.
Oh,
or whatever.
I've watched it 3-4 times now. Love that show.
Get a life. Jeez.
You know what else I love?
What's that?
Baby Oil and Blow. That's why after these commercial breaks, we're going to come with more.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is just a flat old tater chip. It's just flat. It's just tater. It's just an old chip, but not this. Is a new Cajun spice ruffled potato chip. Look at them ridges full of cayenne pepper, onion, garlic, paprika. Whoo, this is Cajun spice. Ain't nothing flat about it.
Try new Cajun spice Ruffles brand potato chips with a feisty, spicy bite in every crunch. It's the new taste that won't leave you flat.
Oh, boy, they want them to talk guarantee.
Now, for new Tyson Looney Tunes meals, Daffy Duck.
Thank you. My spaghetti and meatballs.
Sylvester. My fish sticks are stupendous!
Tweety?
Look! Nutritious!
Nutritious too! Introducing Tyson Looney Tunes Meals for Kids. Nutritious meals that taste great.
Bugs Bunny.
You'll find my meal in your grocer's freezer. And these other guys too.
New Looney Tunes Meals from Tyson.
Like family.
Well, I don't know what we're counting tonight. I got a feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I get hit with the chair. And I'm watching those corner stairs. Doink to the left of me, oh, wow. Valvinus to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. See what I did?
I lost an ear during the break. He's just been mocking me with references to Tarantino movies the whole time. It's... I'm not too happy about it, quite frankly.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry! I can't believe she killed me, man! Who the fucking got that?
Hey! Just cancel that shit! Right now! You're hurt! You're hurt real fucking bad! But you ain't dying!
I'm gonna die! I was scared the shit out of me, Larry. I'm gonna die, I know it.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't realize you had a degree in medicine. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Answer me, please, are you a doctor? Huh?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you admit you don't know what you're talking about. So, if you're through giving me your amateur opinion, fly back and listen to the news. I'm taking you back to the rendezvous. Joe's gonna get you a doctor. The doctor's gonna fix you up. And you're gonna be okay. Now say it. You're gonna be okay. Say it! You're gonna be okay.
Why didn't we ever get that Vega Brothers spinoff that Quentin was going to do.
I was up there with Coming to America 2.
Right.
Tarantino talking about that for years and years.
I could see him doing it like now that they're just complete shells of human beings.
That would be the move, wouldn't it? That would be the thing.
Where he's like got such a
fat old men and what are they into?
If this new one he does, that's fucking Leo and the fucking Charlie Manson murder. Movie. If this like does like really well, like it's getting hyped up that it will, I could see him having enough of a god complex at this point where he could be like, I'm going to relaunch Travolta's career again.
You know, Travolta was nothing, and then I turned him into something. Well, Travolta's nothing again. Watch this.
Watch this. Vega Brothers, the movie.
I'm not going to lie. Watch it.
And then Vega, Savio Vega, also tying in.
Tying into what?
Where we're going eventually, but we don't have to get there now. If we want to talk about something, we can. I like our rambling.
Yeah.
What kind of cough syrup are you drinking?
Just
cherry? Menthol?
It's like an orange flavor, I think.
Ooh.
I think like two. Like, in fact, I got a lot of bad stuff going on. Like this morning, I tweaked my back just doing nothing.
Oof.
Just like getting the water filter jug out of my like fridge.
Your back's been on point though since you discovered that DDP yoga years ago.
And then I was just like, oh, and then I was too stubborn to like take it easy, so I just did all my workouts normally for the rest of the day. I think I was probably like working out like how somebody like a Steiner or a Hogan probably has to work out these days, where like half your body just like doesn't work, but you're
no legs.
I still gotta be big, man. So like I'm just like standing totally stiff, just trying to like isolate the one muscle that can move.
That works, yeah.
Right now, I don't know. I'm starting to get loosey goosey from all this medicine, but then I still got like that stiffness of the back tweak and all the weightlifting I did. And
boy, now's the time to go do back exercises. You're loosey goosey. Yeah, you just said it yourself.
I don't know how this night's gonna end.
Strengthen up the muscles around the problematic area.
I feel like I could be in a gutter by tomorrow morning.
Oof.
And it's like 6 degrees out, so that would be it for me.
You got like a daytime nighttime medicine?
I'm only do daytime because I'm one of those weirdos who gets a reverse reaction to nighttime shit where it just keeps me up for like 3 days. I can't take anything that's a nighttime or I won't sleep for like the next week.
Yeah, Maria's the exact opposite of you. If anything,
life sounds so easy for her.
If anything has like just a hint of like there's like a 0.1% chance this will make you drowsy.
Oh,
she's going under.
That's the dream. That's a dream right there.
She's like that episode of Seinfeld with the tryptophan.
More wine and turkey? So when I saw George on the street with an 18-pound turkey and a giant box of wine, I thought, what a coincidence. We're just about to eat.
What is that stuff in turkey that makes you sleepy?
Tryptophan. I think. Have some more wine.
What video did you get?
George brought home movies of his boyhood trip to Michigan.
4 hours.
More heavy gravy.
Where George and Jerry are going over there to play with their toy collection.
Except she's just got a collection of rocks, so there's nothing cool for us to play with when she gets knocked out.
Rocks and animals. Yeah. Oh,
man.
Take your pick.
Get that bitch some toys.
Yeah. Hey, man. I shouldn't be the only one buying vintage wrestling toys. You're right. So?
This is getting to the three count.
Yeah?
Three count this week. Just classic. It's been on my three count list for a while. It's one I always eyeball, and I'm like, when am I going to pull that one out? This week, I was just like, let's pull it out. Let's just use it.
Fucked up on enough cold medicine. Let's do it.
One of the ideas I came up with months ago for this three count, and we got to use it sometime. So, best mid-card acts. These are the guys who are always floating around in the middle of the card. They never got pushed to the main events, but you know, like...
They did the yeoman's job of always keeping the show going.
They needed to be there. They were good at it, and they just had a spot always because they were reliable for what they did. They didn't need to be main eventers, and they weren't jobbers. They were perennial mid-carders. That was my idea. The unsung heroes, maybe. Like the character actors of pro wrestling, they are here. These guys.
Best supporting actor. They never won the leading role, but...
We got some Steve Buscemi's going on here.
Oh, amen.
A whole crew of Steve Buscemi's.
Just a list of Buscemi's.
Hey, Bill,
Did you ever kill anybody?
What kind of an asshole question is that? I'm
trying to think of another good case of that.
Character actor type deal?
Yeah, like what's a Buscemi.
What's that guy who's in all Joe Dante's movies? Dick whatever. That guy's great.
No way Wednesday night. I'm gonna leave.
This seminar could change your life, Vic. The man is a great healer.
And I'm a great bowler. And Wednesday night we're taking on Roselli Plumbing.
You really should expose yourself to this guy, Vic. He understands paraphysical forces, the healing capabilities of crystals, and the laying on of hands.
You want to try laying on some hands?
Michael Pena.
I'm really having a terrible, terrible time producing names right now.
Michael Pena.
Like, I know that guy's
I think that's who you
fucking
meant.
Name.
Dick Butkus.
That's not it.
Oh, it's probably Christ. Michael Pena.
The racist old man from Gremlins. Come on.
Oh, it's definitely Dick Butkus.
In some ways, Roger Corman's most personal movie is Bucket of Blood, written by Chuck Griffith and an ode to beatniks and coffee shops. It's a really hilarious satire of the beatniks of the period. And Dick Miller's greatest role was Walter Paisley, a part he played many times after that, revived by myself and Joe Dante in Hollywood Boulevard, and then used over and over again. The set is terrific, and it's from Diary of a High School Bride. Terrific jazz solo by Paul Horn. Dick Miller with a cigarette holder, what can you say? It's sheer perfection. And all he wants to do is be loved and respected and to get girls, something every artist wants. And to do it, he just has to kill. It's an interesting concept and kind of explores maybe Roger's guilt about how he was making his art. But in any case, it's a hilarious movie. The way that Dick handles himself, look at him here. There's a woman who just wants his body, and poor Walter doesn't know what to do about it. It's shot in a very gothic style, and the fact that Dick has to kill things and cover them with clay in order to get people to love him is really kind of sad.
I shall compose a poem. Love is art. Art is love.
This trailer is trying to sell it as a comedy, although it came out on a double bill with Attack of the Giant Leeches. It sort of was a black humor and probably Chuck Griffith's greatest work. So it's in the tradition of Little Shop of Horrors. So if you enjoy that movie, I think Bucket of Blood is even better.
I'm gonna bing this.
I'm having a good time with you, pal. This is nice. Usually I'm the one that's a complete shit show shell of
Dick
a human
Miller.
Being.
I didn't even see it. It finally came to me.
Yeah,
something
Dick Kismet.
Came to me.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. We're talking about the Dick Millers of pro wrestling here. What's your number three?
Dick Miller's a pro wrestling. That's just the statement unto itself.
Uh-huh.
My number three. You said I can go all time.
I did.
You told me I didn't have to stay in the 80s, so I went all time.
I don't care anymore, Matt.
But this first one, I stayed in the 80s. And I went with the ultimate mid-card guy, of which there were plenty to choose from in the 80s.
Oh, very much so.
But there's one guy that I always respected the most.
The card was so much more structured back then. Like, there was your clear main event energy. Yeah. Now it's just kind of like, well, everybody kind of just wins and loses equally all the time.
Right.
Which is horse shit.
This guy might have main evented a match or two, but, I mean, there's one that you can argue, but other than that, just
I'm not gonna argue.
Steady mid-card.
I don't have it in me to argue right now.
He never really had a lot of belts, period. A couple secondary titles here and there. Didn't even do like the whole, like, I'm going to tag with a guy and we're going to be tag champs for a while.
That's a classic move for
That's
a
classic mid-card guy.
Let's move him over to the tag team division. Tag teams are always mid-card.
This guy was just,
I hear the Revival's pretty pissed about that.
I'm who I am, and everybody knows who the fuck I am, and I'm even going to be in a couple movies.
Oh, wow.
I'm the Hot Rod, Roddy.
Oh, come on.
Roddy Piper.
Piper main evented WrestleMania 1.
And then what?
Well, he's a main eventer his entire career up to that point, though.
Yeah, but, it was before, like, he was really televised, like, not to the knowing audience.
I'm going to give this to you. Later career Piper was moved down to the mid-card and was always a solid mid-card act after his peak, which was around the early 80s.
But I'm saying, like, the run people know about.
Mm-hmm.
Is like 80s WWF when he hits the map.
Well, on top of fucking Hogan on all the MTV shit.
Yeah.
It's like, Hogan's a big, I think, like.
Yeah, I guess he did have a little.
Maybe, like, he would have had a little bit of a longer run on top if, you know, we never got that one-on-one match between him and Hogan where he put Hogan over, and that's probably why he got shunted down to the fucking mid-card for the rest of his career. Yeah. You're going to be on top in the 80s as a bad guy. Your job is to put Hogan over.
Yeah.
You think too fucking big for your britches to lay down for the leg drop, brother?
I'm just saying, like, in my era of watching wrestling, Piper was always just there.
Yeah, he floated around that IC level for a little bit.
He didn't even
tossed it back and forth with Brett or whatever. He's just like had some of those like I'm gonna be in weird boxing match feuds around WrestleMania a couple times. All right, I
he
get
was
what
always
you're
in.
I get where you're going with this.
He was always in a spitting distance of that main event.
What's my number three?
I don't know. You made the list.
God, my phone's on Bing right now. Let's get back to it. It's
close
only,
your Bing box.
It's a three.
Close your Bing box.
A three wrestler list. You feel like I should just be able to pull it up over the top of my head, but I wasn't able to right now. My number three is a guy.
Dick Miller.
Maybe a little bit like Piper. Was more of a main eventer before he went to the WWF, but then settled into that main event once he was there. I feel like that's a story of a lot of guys of that era. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Ooh, okay.
For a while there, when he first came up, he was very hot, and there was a lot of talk about him getting pushed to the top and being one of the main guys. And then, as we all know, he got busted doing drugs in a car with Shiki,
baby. With Sabu and RVD.
And then, yeah. So he had to go away for a while, and then when he came back, he was always mid-card.
They opportunity missed. What they should have done, if this was current WWE and not WWF, they would have ran with that story of them getting pulled over, and they would have been like, all the drugs that they had in the car are why Jim Duggan's so handicapped these days.
It's like a whole Festus
instead of just like
thing
punishing him, just being like,
it's going to be the reverse Festus.
He did too many drugs, everybody.
Either way, he didn't get all salty and be like, I'm going to ask for my release and go work somewhere else where I can get put to the main event where I belong. He was like, no, I'm getting paid, making that.
I was going to say, motherfuckers
on a card
paid.
With Hogan money. I don't care. So I'm going to chant USA and I'm going to say ho, and that's going to fucking last for the next. I don't know, late WCW, Hacksaw Jim Duggan still on the roster, still coming out, 99, 2000.
Yeah.
Still getting huge reactions when he comes out, like, for no reason at that point. The man had, like, battled through cancer, looked just like a old shaggy, like, fucking Muppet from Sesame Street or something.
Yeah, he was hard
point.
To look at. He still had those blue boner shorts.
Blue boner shorts, still had boogers, still had his board. That's all he needed, and he just leaned on the three things that he had that people liked.
I want to say
just always a reliable, huge reaction from the crowd whenever you brought him out.
I want to say he was like feuding for the hardcore title against like Sandman, aka Hardcore Hack,
and like Brian Knobs, and I think like Fit Finley.
Maybe like Bam Bam like, or somebody. Yeah.
That was a real underrated, weird like thing going on.
I
want to
watch some
WCW
of those now.
WCW Hardcore Division.
Yeah,
it's like who are all the fat old guys on our roster. Let's just have them hit each other in the head with cookie sheets.
It's all really weird because, like, WWF had their bullshit version of it with their, like, 24/7 rules and, like, Hardcore Holly and
a lot of comedy, a lot of Gaga.
Little Crash Holly. And, like, this is wacky, wacky. Look at these guys. This is nuts. And it was all just their tongue in cheek, like, here's me jerking my dick saying I care about ECW, this is what I think about you fans. But like, they would still bring in like an ECW guy or two to be in that division.
That was always
so
humiliating.
Even those guys were just like, well, fuck it, like I'm getting paid.
How'd that work out for you, Taz?
If my head's getting cut open, at least I'm gonna get fucking paid for it.
That's true. Go crazy on me with a box cutter as long as the paycheck's good enough for the other end of it.
Yeah.
What do I care at this point?
Less of a chance of hepatitis.
I can't feel anything anymore.
No. Well, you haven't for years.
WCW, though, they injured a bunch of guys legitimately trying to
just
launch a hardcore thing. Remember when they did that hardcore junkyard invitational and, like, half the guys got tetanus and like tore ligaments and stuff. Like, I think it ended like 4 or 5 careers.
Yeah.
Jim Duggan might have been in that. I don't know.
I think he made it through. He caught cancer in that match. He beat it.
Came back and joined Team Canada.
Yeah, God bless him.
First time he turned out America. That guy had a way longer career than he needed
to
have. Deserved to have, quite frankly. But it was because he knew what his spot was, and he leaned into it and just did the things that he did, nothing else, and just collected checks.
All right, I got a number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going more into the 90s here.
Oh, boy.
And this is a guy that...
No.
90s also, like the 80s, had a steady crew of guys that just made up that mid-card and just... There was a lot of talks from, like, coming out of
I'm
there.
Sparky Plug.
Best out of title. Best without the title. Blah, 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 blah. And this was an era of garbage, mostly. But there's one guy...
One man's garbage is another, like, you know, stray dog's food for the night, so...
Yeah. There's one guy that just...
There's some juicy niblets in that 90s stuff.
Ran the entire 90s and just always was in something. And no matter what they were giving him, he turned it into something. And that guy was the Rocket, the Blackheart, the Blue Blazer, Owen Hart.
He did run through a whole gamut of different mid-card shits.
Yeah.
And was always very entertaining. Even when they stuck him with the Nation of Domination.
And you're like,
randomly the only
white
guy.
Why the fuck is Owen Hart in the Nation?
It was kind of like, yeah, they're having some good matches, him and D'Lo Brown, though.
And he's like cutting like legit promos, and he's doing that enough's enough, and it's time for a change. Mm-hmm. And you're like, is he black? Is he honorary black? I'm
had to have been.
Yeah.
Had to have been.
Yeah.
People should be like remembering Owen Hart on MLK Day, quite frankly.
And then just all the way to him just coming back around and being like with Brett.
Yeah.
When like Brett finally turned heel.
He probably could have been a main eventer based on that because everything was so great and everybody was loving it so much. But I don't know, for some reason, they just always kept him down there in that like Christian role. Maybe Vince thought he was ugly or something. Like, God damn, he's a great wrestler, but I can't put him in main events.
He was going to go to WCW and get pushed for real and make some real money, and then Vince killed him.
No, that's Vince Russo killed him. Let's be more specific.
Bro, you get up on the rafter. I've seen Sting do it 1,000 times, bro.
Even that thing where he was comically bringing back the Blue Blazer that killed him was getting over there for a few weeks before he died. Yeah. People were having fun with it. Like, oh, it's kind of like the Midnight Rider done right because they were being cheeky about it and everybody was having a lot of fun with it. It wasn't like a, why is this happening again?
Yeah, if there's two things I'll always remember, it's Jeff Jarrett crying because Owen Hart died and CM Punk crying because Chris Benoit died. But not because he was sad that Chris died. He was upset. He was angry that he didn't get to wrestle Chris Benoit at that ECW pay-per-view like he was supposed to. He's like, that's selfish, bro. I don't do drugs.
My number two is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh!
We talk about how much we like him on here a lot. He's just a great heel.
The Honky Tonk Man.
Cuts great promos that make you hate him. His package with Jimmy Hart is just amazing.
Oh,
those two
amazing
work great together.
Package.
If you look at him on paper, just like a chubby guy from Memphis who's
what a great package.
Doing an Elvis impersonator gimmick, it shouldn't work. It should be job fodder shit the last couple months and then goes away. But somehow this guy just made it work. He made it awesome. If you brought Honky Tonk Man out in front of crowds right now, I'm convinced he would still just get heel heat. This guy was always...
Well, if you gave him a microphone.
Floating around.
And like 2 minutes to get himself over.
Yeah, sure. And he's shaking his hips and acting like an idiot. He did that thing we talked about where they stuck him in a tag team for a little bit. Rhythm and Blues, him and Greg Valentine. Very versatile. You can stick him anywhere.
Sure.
Anytime you need a good guy who's like got to beat somebody, have him beat Honky. You need him to like get cheered for beating somebody, have him beat Honky.
Have him beat Honky. Thank you for joining us on this MLK Day edition of Baby Oil and Blow.
Jeff Jarrett did the same gimmick. I'm going to do bullshit finishes in all my matches. I'm going to hit people with guitars. never got over.
No.
Honky Tonk Man, still over.
He got over a little there, I feel. Like Jeff when Jarrett? He was mid-card Jeff Jarrett in
only
WWF.
When he was saying slap nuts in WCW. That's
yeah,
the
that
only
was my
era
favorite.
Jeff Jarrett that I like.
You know I'm an NWO silver guy. You know that about me.
Slap nuts.
Listen here, slap nuts. My number one, spoke about him earlier. Did a little parallel imagining.
Oh, okay.
We both work through some things and go through some things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes days are better than others. And sometimes, hopefully, most days, people are going to remember you for your best.
Yeah, that's not how I remember
people. Other times, people are going to remember the struggle.
That's generally what I think about when I think about people.
But I'm talking about a guy who's always important. Always a big name in the business. But when you look at the work, you look at where it was, you look at where he got. He's always right there at that mid-card.
Middle of the pack.
And he was also there with Pac.
Johnny Average.
I'm talking about Scotty Hall.
Scott Hall. Yeah, just too unreliable to ever be made a main eventer.
But could have been.
Lord, people wanted to do it over and over again. They tried. They tried and tried.
Could've
he just
been.
Wouldn't let it happen.
And even...
Another great Intercontinental Champion.
Even by his own destruction, his own power of distrustity, the fans still...
Oh,
if he
yeah.
could make it out there, if he could just walk out there,
there's still
those fuckers pop, man.
Fans who are like, you need to bring back Scott Hall and have him do commentary or have him do creative team or whatever. And it's like, if you put Scott Hall on the road, he's gonna do drugs.
Yeah, there's even like you watch those independent shows where he's just like trying not to die on himself.
Yeah, I watch and, a lot of those YouTube clips.
Even when he comes out. No matter how many people are helping him walk, people are popping.
That's because he always keeps that hair dyed. That's a secret.
Is that
what
it is?
You can't let people know that you're aging, man. You keep that hair dyed and people will always pop for you.
Nash made the mistake.
Nash is a fool.
By laying off the snake oil.
And we all know how old he is.
The Grecian hair dye.
People think Hall can still go because he's got that beautiful dark hair.
Yeah, yeah.
My number one is a guy who's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Is a guy who can do everything great. He's one of those fucking rocks of your promotion. Who you could
I love the Rock.
Throw in any situation.
You excited about that Calvin and Hobbes Fast and Furious spinoff they're doing?
I was going to say, there's no way the Rock could either be Calvin or Hobbes in a live-action Calvin and Hobbes movie.
Yeah, no, it's
no sense.
It's the characters from the Fast
You're
and the Furious, the Calvin and Hobbes.
Fast and the Furious spinoff, and no, I'm not looking forward to that because those movies are terrible.
Him and Jason Statham, they're Calvin
I'm
and Hobbes.
I'm bored with everybody's ironic love of those just stupid movies with the dumb CG action scenes.
I've never seen
fun to watch.
One of those movies, and I vow to see this one.
Okay, well, that's going to treat you well. No, my number one is Arn Anderson, double A, solid promo, solid in-ring work. You could throw him in a tag team. You could throw him in singles. He's going to get whatever you have him do over, but he looks like everybody's dad, so he's never going to be your main event guy. But as the guy who stands behind Ric Flair and is his backup and is his number two, his right-hand man, the number two guy, you're not going to get anybody ever better as a number two guy than fucking Arn Anderson. He's like the Tom Sizemore of wrestling.
Yeah.
So.
Even when they had him, like, go after Flair, like, oh, this is finally it.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the.
Once or twice.
Wasn't for the title.
Nope. And it never lasted because everybody just wanted them back together again.
Yeah.
It's a thing that works. You got a guy who's the top guy, and you got a guy who's his best friend and enforcer. Arn Anderson never needed to be in the main event to be over. You could put him anywhere.
Yeah.
Just like people know, oh, that's fucking Arn Anderson. They would have believed
Double
him
A.
as a main eventer, but he just didn't need to fucking be there.
I think he could have wrestled through that paralyzed arm. I feel like he kind of pussed out.
That's true. He did pop off that sweet spine buster on Taker at that WrestleMania when he was fighting Flair. And it was like, get that guy back out here in shooting glasses. Give him a tire iron. There's more in the tank.
He's wrestling enough.
More gas in his
He's
tank.
He's wrestling enough. He was by wrestling standards, young as fuck when he had to walk away from the game.
Oh, yeah. You don't understand how young Arn Anderson is because he showed up to wrestling bald. At
looking
like
40.
20 years old or whatever. Yeah. Just like, I've already got six kids. Like, I'm a dad, yeah. But I'm here to wrestle.
Like,
also, I can't drink for another year legally.
I want to say like 88 where we're at now, and he really looks like he's 43.
He looks like a grizzled old vet, he's, man.
I want to say mid-20s.
Probably, which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson.
You figure...
always 45.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson at 75 probably looks 45. Arn Anderson at 25 yeah. looks fucking 45. That's
I want to say he was only like our age when he had to retire.
He's constantly mid-card. He's constantly middle-aged.
Yeah. Like it just...
middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. Vroom, 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 vroom.
So, let's talk about next week, Matt.
Yeah?
There's some big news I want to capitalize on.
Let's talk about next week.
I want us to jump on some big news that's happened.
Ooh.
And I want us to incorporate it into our show. And I want us to take us in a new direction.
Ooh.
And just really reinvigorate this podcast.
Okay.
They're adding superstars to the WWE Network.
You saw that, too.
The A-list show. But
with the music.
But they're not allowed to add most of it. They're only allowed to add it after they change the name to Superstars instead of Wrestling Superstars. So that starts in April of 1992. We're doing another time jump, man. Because, you know, if we stick in these same years for too long, we just
start talking
about the same things over and over again.
Us.
It gets repetitive.
That's why you're sick.
We're doing another time jump. We're shooting to 1992. We're going to dig into these superstars. We're finally going to look a little bit at these A shows in WWF.
Ooh.
Next week, we're doing April 18th, 1992, WWF Superstars.
2 days before Hitler's birthday. Of 1992.
It's going to be big. It's going to feel fresh. It's going to breathe a whole new life into this podcast, Babu and Blow. Hopefully, I will be healthy by the time we got to tackle this whole thing.
Hopefully, I will be every bit as awesome as I am right now. Spoiler alert. Gonna be more awesome.
Slipping down the backside. There's no way that could be true.
Slipping in the darkness. Stay single. It's Baby Oil and Blow.